This Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, we had many who gathered here to begin this journey, our season of Lent, with about 59 here in this service between our noon and our 7 p.m. I found myself moved this year by the mark of the ashen cross on foreheads, moved by both familiar faces and neighbor faces, who we can learn. Moved by those who this year brought confessions to the cross. We shredded them this year, your confessions, and embraced the assurance that God offers unconditional love for each of us, moved by a commitment to enter this Lenten season together, with an action to live out God's love for others. I invited those there, and I invite all of you, this Lenten journey, to take on love, to take it on, love more than a warm and pleasant emotion. Love as an action lived out in practical and concrete ways. This has always been a little challenging for us as God's people. What does this mean? How do you do this? In fact, there have been times when the church, maybe a specific church, maybe this one, maybe you, maybe me, we focus so much on survival that we've forgotten our mission or our purpose, that the reason that we're called as a people is to share God's love for others. Our reading from today is the prophet Micah, where the people of Israel are in the midst of something just like this. It's a lawsuit from God. They've broken covenant with God. They've not remembered who they are as God's people, how to treat one another. And in the middle of a courtroom, it's not a courtroom as you and I would know it, but the mountains and the hills are the witnesses to their actions. What do God's people do when they've forgotten how to care for one another and gone astray? When they grow complacent and settled into kind of a comfortable faith? Micah, that 8th century prophet, speaking on behalf of God, gathered all of the chutzpah and the moxie to be able to speak on behalf of God, a small town kind of guy, the one who speaks for farm workers, suffering at the hands of landlords, the voice of workers who sees what's going on, is willing to name it, and didn't remove himself from suffering. Will God be satisfied with just what people offer? And he says those words that you and I heard. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Doing justice hands-on is not abstract. It's detail-oriented. And it requires feet, hands, feet, and minds of God's people. It calls us to critique and revise that which has held others back. Just like Micah called the Israelites to disrupt and dismantle, to break down and transform that which was going on around them that held others back. This Lent, we join with other churches around the area, as we have done for 4 other years before, in the give, serve, restore emphasis, to work for justice in our area with our neighbors who are currently in poverty. Do you know this is the folks you shop at the grocery store with, the people in our children's schools? This is those who we know who seek another way. Getting Ahead, the program we're seeking to support is more than just a band-aid kind of a program. 6 weeks participatory workshop where transformation happens. Getting ahead is those living in poverty, moving beyond the day-to-day struggle, exploring the roots of poverty and opening a new way to create change. It focuses on poverty as a lack of resources, as opposed to the victimization. Not just a financial understanding, but spiritual, mental, emotional, and social resources. Building for change. Getting ahead is a part of a model called Bridges Out of Poverty. It was launched in our area in 2015 and is used by communities all around the globe. In order to address poverty in Southern Chester County, it's part of a collaborative effort now called the Southern Chester County Opportunity Network. We often host their gatherings here in this space as part of a commitment to justice. A growing collection of people committed to find comprehensive ways to tackle poverty. Doing justice is about changing systems and reflecting God's kingdom into our world. 8 workshops that have been held now in this larger community, staffed by nonprofits, Kennett Area Community Service, Constellation Network, Good Samaritan Services, The Garage. Our offerings for Give, Serve, Restore this season are doing justice to transform the lives of those in our community. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. I think loving kindness often seems particularly aspirational and exceptional rather than common. It takes a risk that you and I might be wounded or excluded. Another person's suffering might impact us and become part of our lives. We're called to that kind of change because when we hear other stories and meet other people, we learn that each and every one is very much God's beloved. When we read the news or hear a podcast or read a blog, that is very much how God is moving in our world. It's our action that brings change. That's why loving our neighbor comes from the doing and the loving and the walking. It comes from the asking and the seeking and the knocking. Rudy Rasmus, the pastor of St. John's in Houston, writes of this challenge in his book, Touch, Pressing the Wounds of a Broken World. He was called a number of years ago to care for a dying church in the center of Houston. Initially called just to see if he might be the chaplain to that church, see if he might be able just to bring it along. But more than the church, he ultimately brought life to the community. As he reached out, it was no surprise that the community began to creep in to the sanctuary itself. And as they began to creep into the sanctuary, there were families and the homeless. There were professionals and there were addicts. And the community began to press at the edges of how to actually live out loving kindness. It was uncomfortable for folks in the pews as loving kindness brought its whole self into worship. Pastor Rudy tells the story of a wild man who came barreling down the aisle onto the chancel itself, with something shiny under his arm, and no one knew what it was at first. Police in pursuit. Now, ultimately, friends, there was no weapon there. There was a CD flash under his arm. It was a loving hug and someone to look him in the eye. It was being fed and it was being cared for over time that made the difference. He's honest that this kind of loving kindness is challenging for those of us, and it's most of us, it's all of us, that investing in the lives of others challenges us. He says this, we've had dozens, hundreds of well-dressed folks who've come to St. John's, but most of them come one time. They look around and feel uncomfortable, and at that moment have a decision to make. The question may not be formulated in a crystal clear way, but it's instructive. Do I want to be part of a gut-level caring community? Or do I want to go down the street where people look and feel like me? Seek and ye will find. To walk humbly is to know one another intimately, eye to eye and heart to heart. It's to wake up and know one another's neighbors. It's not to know an issue or a theory, but depend on God in the gritty details of life. It's to not turn away when someone's hurting and needs us, needs you, and needs God. To walk humbly is to learn about one's neighbors. For most of us, Mr. Rogers was formative in shaping a modern and biblical concept of what it means to love a neighborhood. For most of us, if we say neighbor, Mr. Rogers might very well be the first one that we think of. Whether we watched Mr. Rogers ourselves, that was certainly me, I'm that right era, or we showed it to our children, he shaped our understanding of what it means to walk humbly and learn how to meet our neighbors. Whether it's an episode on racial integration or national tragedy, whether it's the land of make-believe or special needs children, each neighbor received an invitation about how to be and to love in return. I recently watched the documentary, Would You Be My Neighbor? And if you haven't watched it, let me just commend it to you. The cultural icon and ordained Presbyterian minister reminded us this. The only thing that ever changes the world is when someone gets the idea that love can abound and needs to be shared. The only thing that ever really changes the world is when someone gets the idea that love abounds and needs to be shared. Like Micah, we hear the stories of our neighbors and we respond with justice, do justice, with kindness, love kindness, and with humility. Walk humbly with your God. How is God calling you to take on love this Lent? I invite you to join me with praying hands and with feet of action. We are a people in which prayer and action always go together. It's something unique about us as United Methodists. We believe that action and prayer always go together. So each week I will share with you a prayer and an action that we might do together. So I ask you to consider this week that your action might be to pick up one of these bags that you might fill. They're out in the shopping cart. For our neighbors that we serve in the emergency food pantry, this supplements programs like Getting Ahead for our folks who struggle from month to month. And then I'll invite you to close with me in prayer. Would you pray with me? Gracious and giving God, you invite us to your table and into the journey of these 40 days of Lent. You call us to taste your goodness and be fed. For those of us who are hungry, O God, give us bread. For those of us who have enough, move us to share with others, as well as to hunger and thirst for justice. Through Jesus, the bread of life, we pray. Amen.